when no one dies heavenward bound.
Amen. And let the church say amen. Amen. For once again, God has allowed us to come back into his house, that we may continue a service in exalting and uplifting his most and holy high name. For a few minutes, and I say that because I know you like the ring of few minutes, if you will turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, we'll concern ourselves with chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, commencing at verse 1 and ending at verse number 15. And the Bible reads, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had bought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.'" In verse number 7, a key verse. "And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants," in verse 13, "came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. When we look at this particular passage, we understand that Naaman, a commander of the army of Syria, he was considered by many a great man. He was in a great place. And not only was Naaman rich, but Naaman, he was particularly happy with two things. One, that he had been very serviceable to his country. For God had made him that way. For by him the Lord had often gave deliverance to Syria, their success in their wars, even with Israel. Secondly, he was accepted by those who served with him and under him. Great, high, honorable was he, and a mighty man of valor. But again, Naaman had a problem. He was a leper. He had a loathsome disease which made him a burden not only to others, but it made him a burden to himself. Receiving the word by the little maid that he could be healed of or by a prophet in Samaria, he hastily took the news to his king. And his king told him to go. Go. And before you go, I'm going to send a letter ahead of you, just and so that the king of Israel will be expecting you. And in verse number 7, if we went back to that verse, we find that when the king of Israel read it, he tore his clothes in dismay. Now, keep in mind, the king of Syria and the king of Israel were not on friendly terms. As a matter of fact, it was the king of Syria who often invaded Israel territory. And so when the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, this man sends me a leper to heal. This man, in all accounts, he didn't ask me if I would heal him, but he tells me to heal him. But when the man of God, Elisha, heard about the king's reaction, he asked this question, King, why are you upset? You know, it's good to be a child of God. Because you see, when you are a child of God, then news that is difficult to accept won't hit you like someone else. News that we're not accustomed to hearing or dealing with affects us, a man of God, or God's children, a little bit differently than it does others. So here we have Elisha, the man of God, hearing about the reaction of the king. Why are you upset? Send Naaman to me. And it's often good that as children of God, as the man of God, when there's a situation that is about to go out of control, that you take control. And this is what Elisha did for the king. He took control where Elisha said, send him to me. And by you sending him to me, he will know and understand that there is a God and a prophet in all of Israel. So in verse number 10, we find that Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But in verse number 11, Naaman, he became angry. He went away and said, but, you know, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God, or perhaps even strike his hand over the place and recover me from my leprosy. And then he begins to question, because you see, when in your mind you are of high authority, sometimes your position starts to take over. Sometimes when you are high on the corporate ladder, there are some things that you feel that you shouldn't have to do. Perhaps because of where you live, or perhaps because of what you drive. There are some things, there are some places, there are some people that may be, as you feel, beneath you. And this was how Naaman was reasoning. For in verse number 12, he says, are not Abana and Parpha rivers of Damascus better than all of Israel? You know, I'm reminded where it was mentioned in regards to Jesus. What good thing can come out of Nazareth? Here, what good rivers are there in Damascus? We have Abana and Parpha. They are in Damascus. They are better than the rivers and the waters of Israel. Why is it that I cannot go and wash in them? So what he did, he turned away in rage. You know, there was a time when we were at Deal Avenue. Brother Brown had made mention that there are circumstances, and sometimes there are trials that will make us jump up and down. As a matter of fact, we will jump so high that we can perhaps almost hit the ceiling. But then, as time goes on, we're still going to come back down. And that situation is still going to be there. And this is what Naaman did. He jumped up and down, and eventually, in verse number 14, let's back up to verse number 13, where he says, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do something great, wouldest thou have not done it? Again, because of Naaman's stature, he felt that because of where he was, then what needed to happen, according to his cleansing, needed to be just as high and just as great. For he went down, in verse number 14, and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came like again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. God, at times, he issues commands that sometimes seems unorthodox or unreasonable to us. Things like Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them that spitefully use you. For we find in the book of Matthew chapter 18 and at verse number 8, where Jesus says that whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. For in the book of Psalm chapter 118 and verse number 8, the writer states that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So the question is this evening, what will trusting in God do for you? What will trusting in God do for me? Having gone into the world before, we found a solid footing. We're less restrained in our approach to life. We're not afraid to steadily learn more about ourselves as we have a clearer awareness of what we want and where it is we want to go. For God is the constant source of strength and good in our lives. We can feel safe in the knowledge that He will guide us and that He will care for us no matter what. And because our trust in Him and our growing confidence, we are free to do things that previously seemed to be impossible. When we genuinely trust God, we can declare with absolute authority the words of David as is written in Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 2, where he states that the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my higher tower. If you wanted a subject title on this evening, I would call it, How Bad Do You Really Want It? How bad do you really want it? You see, Naaman had his sights set on a prize. But depending on how bad he really wanted it would depend on whether or not he was willing to trust. The same goes for you and I. And it doesn't really make much difference what it is that we want. But it's more like whatever it is we want, how bad do we really want it? For in the book of James, the writer writes that we have not because we ask not. And usually, we ask not because we trust not. Think about it. Usually, certain things we just put on the back burner just because we know that perhaps it's nowhere in sight. It's because of our lack of trust. It's because of whatever it is, we don't believe that it is possible, at least not right now. But in God, if we continue to trust, He says, ask what it is, and if it is His will, He will provide. So on this evening, as Brother Arnelius Crenshaw has said in passing, how much faith is in your faith account? This evening, if you realize that your faith account is low, then the opportunity is available for you to come forward and acknowledge your request. that we may go to the Father in prayer, that he may help to upbuild your account. And perhaps you're with us on this evening and you have not been baptized into Christ. That is, you have not named the name of Christ. And you desire to open a new account. You too have the opportunity. Realize that there is one way which requires five steps. First, you want to come by hearing his word. As we find in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse number 45. Come hearing that word, which you and as recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse number 6. Repent of your sins, being godly and sorrowful for those things that are contrary, that you have done against the will of God. As recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 13 and verse number 3. For he says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And confess before this assembly that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. As recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10, and complete your act of obedience. And if you do that, he will open up an account. An account that is full of faith. An account that you can go to him in prayer. Ask whatever it is, and he will answer your prayer. If you find yourself in either disposition, we ask that you come together now as we stand singing the song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And I